Hey, welcome to Old Ass Movie Reviews. I'm Scott. There's Dave above me, and we are taking it back to Vincent Price in Roger Corman's It and the Pendulum. Dude.
I forgot that it was a Roger Corman movie.
I did too.
I really did.
I was like, oh, crap, it's Corman. And then, you know, I watched this movie, and it's like, look at Edgar Allan Poe getting his M. Night Shyamalan on.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You know, that's what's funny is I don't remember ever reading the
Pendulum. I barely remember. Same as you. I know I've read it, but I don't remember
it. I did. I read a lot of Poe. I love Poe.
Right.
But I didn't remember the story at all. And I'd seen this movie a couple of times as a kid. The last time I saw it was maybe 10 or 12, maybe.
Oh, wow. Long time.
Because you folks don't know how old I am. A long time. But I remember it being a lot more bloody.
Of course.
And a lot more different people getting pendulumed. Like, I remember like five people getting pendulumed in that movie. I'm like, what are they going to use the pendulum on?
I know. It's the power of the poster. When you're a child and you see stuff like that with that big swinging pendulum, or you watch the trailer, imagination really gets fired up watching this movie. This is a good story. It is a messed up story. I like that I didn't remember it.
Because
folks, this is, if you're not familiar with the story of the Pit and the Pendulum, this deals with this man played by Vincent Price, whose wife dies, and her brother comes to investigate because he just feels something's not right. But go on.
I think the brother just went there to visit his sister.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought he knew. No, he got a letter 6 months later. It took six
and
months
she was
for him.
Sick.
Yes, but so he came based on that letter, I think.
But he didn't. I took it for granted he didn't know that she was dead until after he got there. Is that right or wrong?
I'm not sure. I thought that he found out she had passed, and that's why he was there.
Maybe I heard wrong.
All I know is dude.
It's one of those small things that I get.
It's all good.
Sorry, folks.
But dude shows up and he comes on awfully strong. You need to dial it back a little bit. I really didn't like this character at all.
No, not at all.
Just because of the way he came in, just guns blazing. But I get it. I get why this character was written this way.
Right.
This is a misdirection.
Because
at the beginning of the movie, throughout most of the movie, I'm feeling Vincent Price is hiding something. I'm feeling his character is actually behind something. Right. But in fact, his character is the main victim of this entire show. And
it is
a
good sleight of hand with the the writer. This is awesome. I didn't realize this until I'm looking at it right here. Maybe subconsciously I read the thing. Of course, the writers were Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm.
Do you know who the other writer was and why it had such a good ironic freaking ending?
No.
Richard Matheson, the Twilight Zone writer, the guy who wrote the most spectacular twist endings ever. He's the guy who helped write Planet of the Apes, the ultimate twist ending.
Yes, yes, yes. And this one has I'm not going to spoil this one, but yeah.
No wonder this was so good. No wonder it was such a good
movie.
Vincent Price, I'm glad you did this because I got my Vincent Price picks too.
I told you I could watch him read the phone book.
Ladies and gentlemen, watch this movie. And granted, some of it is comical at times with Vincent Price when he starts losing his mind. And he's just like,
oh, it's great though. I can't say a bad thing about Price. That's just all there is to it.
He does this thing with his mouth and his eye, and he's like, and it's like you start chuckling, but then you're like, fuck, he's totally insane. This guy,
that's it. Yes.
And he does. You see it. You see him go from this nice guy who's just really depressed because his lovely wife died to this complete insane mental case.
And what's really cool is a lot of this takes place, God, I forgot what year it was, in the late, early 1800s, I think.
I think it was supposed to be the early 1800s.
Early 1800s. And I forgot what the hell I was going to say.
Well, this,
but yeah, it takes place in the early 1800s, but it also, 1800s here. When is it?
It says somewhere about 1500s, but I'm not sure if it's, if that's right. Because they were dressed kind of funny. I'm sorry.
They were. But they pulled.
Another thing that I'm zoning in on is the timeline. It's about.
Yeah, but they pulled out a gun. And that does move it above the 1500s. So.
Okay. One of the most clear. Okay. Here's one of the goofs. None of the torture instruments that appear were used in the Inquisition, and many of them didn't exist during the times the story is set. One of the most clear examples of the Iron Maiden, which was invented during the 18th century. So it was supposed to be much earlier. They just had shit in there that wasn't supposed to be there.
Okay. Including a gun. Yeah. So, yeah. But you know what? It's okay. I thought I had read somewhere.
The story it was is the, so good, I didn't even notice. I'll be honest to God, I didn't even notice.
Yeah. Okay. So, back around. Dave saw a squirrel and there we went.
I'm sorry, I
did that. So anyway, this story takes place sometime in the past around the Spanish Inquisition because Vincent Price's father was one of the torturers with the Inquisition. This plays an important role in this movie because when Vincent has a psychological break, he becomes his father, the torturer, and he exacts his revenge. And it is his change is because you can tell he's a very sad man at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
But when they have messed with him so much that he snaps, he becomes his father. And it's just like we're looking at a completely different actor. Such a nice change there.
Man, the people that do it to him realize real damn quick what they did.
Yes.
Oops. Talking about the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
But the movie I really like, the villain, the main villain, the really bad person that's in this movie gets their comeuppance.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say. And I remember thinking, wow, that I should have realized that it was Matheson just from that ending.
That ending, dude. Everything leading.
Brilliant. What a great ending.
Everything leading up to that. All the surprises that led up to that. And then to have that switch like that. And it's like, oh my God. Yeah. So this movie will mess with you. It will, you will be wrong unless you remember the story. Right. Watch very closely at the end.
Watch the end. Here's what's cool about this movie. And I just start laughing because one of the actors in this movie is not a good actor. John Carr. It's spelled K-E-R-R, but I guess it's pronounced Carr. You had Vincent Price, who plays Nicholas Medina. Barbara Steele, who plays Elizabeth Bernard Medina, who is his wife that's dead. John Carr, who plays Francis Barnard, who is her brother. Luana Anders plays Catherine Medina. Anthony Carbone plays the doctor, Charles Leon. He's an okay actor. Patrick Westward plays Maximilian. That's the butler, manservant for Vincent Price. But John Carr, I've seen him in other stuff, and he is a little bit better in some other movies. But he's not a great actor in this. He's really not. And I realize they were probably on a really tight budget and really had,
of course they were.
You can only do one take, man. You've got to nail it on one take. This guy is not a one take guy.
And that's why we got some of the things that we did from his performances, because it probably was that way. It was budgetary.
But the best thing about his acting or the revelation of his acting is go, I think we watched this on Tubi. I watched it on Tubi, I believe. Go to Tubi, go to the trailer. It tells you how to play, go down and watch the trailer. And they talk about Vincent Price is an extraordinary acting. He's the most brilliant man since sliced bread. Barbara Steele, beautiful. She's gorgeous. She knows how to act. She's beautiful again. Luana Anders, she's gorgeous. Knows she's an actress from the fucking acting of actors. John Kerr did his best. And they don't say did his best, but that's the line that they use. That's
the message you got.
We started laughing. We're like, he really stuck it in there. John Kerr.
Wow. What a trooper.
John Kerr knew how to read the lines.
Showed up on time.
Yeah, John Kerr.
Made it to set. Sober.
Knows where his spot is. On the
hit his mark. Memorized his lines. Overacted on cue.
You never watched it yet, Scott. You got to do me a favor after we get done recording later on. Watch it and just tell me if that's not how it is. That's
will.
Why I texted you. I think I said you got to watch the guy.
I never did watch it, but yeah.
It's like they're praising all the other actors, and then John Carr can repeat a line. John Carr, he's okay.
He's an actor.
Couldn't find another guy.
See the match. Yeah. He's all we had.
Pretty much John Carr, the doctor's nephew.
Wow.
I need to make fun of the guy because he's an older guy now. But if you watch the movie, he's probably the weakest link, and he should have been one of the strongest links. Honestly,
should've
the character needs to be a lot stronger.
And I think that's why I had issues with his character and his is the way he delivered everything. He had the wrong emotion behind all of it, and it's like, man, you were begging to be punched in the fucking face.
Well, he like when he was supposed to care about his sister and be heartbroken, it came across very much still like, isn't that nice weather out there? I'm very upset about my sister.
Like, wait, see what? Him cry.
Yeah, John Carr, see him cry. Kind of.
I'm sad.
Yes, look, I'm sad.
Well, you know,
the line.
Wow, we normally don't diss somebody this bad, and you know what? It's all in good fun. It's all in good fun. You can't watch this and think it's a great performance. Nothing personal, John.
It just falls back.
Somebody's going to go dig out some shit that I recorded and say, yeah, look at you, Scott. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I'm going to agree. It's probably bad. Okay.
Dave was in the bushes shaking a motherfucker.
Exactly. Exactly. It's probably really bad. And you're right.
I'd be like, yeah, and I'm not an actor.
Anyway, so I definitely highly recommend grabbing this, sit down, get you a box of popcorn, bucket of popcorn. Mm-hmm. Vincent Price, man. Edgar Allan Poe.
John Carr's chops. Yeah, he got better. I had seen him in other movies after this.
Yeah.
He did get to be not a great actor, but a better actor.
It happens. Yeah, this is a wonderful movie.
After you realize that it's Richard Matheson that wrote it, it's like, holy crap. It is a Twilight Zone episode.
It is. It's
Why
very much.
Why did I not see this coming?
I wasn't prepared for that, you know, because Poe's always had little twists and stuff in his stories. They've always been there, and I should have seen that. I should have seen that coming. But wow, it was nice.
Well, Corman never followed a Poe story. If I went back and read.
You'd be like, what the hell was this?
I would be like, what the fuck was this guy? What the hell was Arthur Corbin smoking?
You know, I don't care. It worked.
They had the names right. Other than that, I don't know.
Yeah, he had the names right. So I'm sure. Unlike Frankenstein. But anyway, so I recommend it. You recommend it. Must watch.
Absolutely, I recommend it. It was a great movie. It's Vincent Price all the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, hey, folks, if you like our show, hit the like, hit the share, hit the subscribe. Catch us wherever you listen or watch your podcast. If you can't find us, drop us a line. You know where to find us, pretty much everywhere. So we will keep you, keep them coming next week. So see you then.